You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Right now, we're reading Girl Reporter from my Cookie Cutter Superhero series. Chapter 5, We're Gonna Need a Bigger Boffin. I wasn't surprised that the Aussie beaut, mightiest hero super team of villain-punching awesome faces, had a secret science lab that provided their specialised tools, vehicles, medical support, etc. I live on the internet, after all. Everyone knows that superheroes must have boffins to queue them up before every mission. There used to be an official innovation hub, which provided high-tech gadgetry and all-around smart people support. But that was closed down a couple of political terms ago, when the government started slashing all the science funding they could get their hands on. Rumour has it the hub went underground at that point, either using private funding or squirreling away millions of boffin dollars from the government via back channels and secret handshake deals. So yes, the lab itself was not a surprise. What I wasn't expecting was that most of the boffins were younger than me. Isn't this illegal? I speculated as I saw my third lab-coated 12-year-old in as many minutes. They get to count it as credit towards the science degrees they're all mysteriously acquiring before they've even left high school, said Joey, who had slipped out of her official solar costume to wear jeans and an old Buckshot Loves catsuit t-shirt that made Griff roll his eyes at her. When it comes to super science, teenagers have the right kind of brains. You mean not fully developed? Open to all possibilities, she grinned back. She's kidding, Griff grumbled. There are grown-ups working here too. They just found it was more productive to contain the teen scientists to a single floor. I spotted several of Griff's orphan boys working on various projects along the way. Other people might put computer games in the hands of underprivileged kids, encourage them to start a rock band, or turn their graffiti into art. Griff had gone with sponsoring superhero science. They're bright lads, he assured me. It's not that I'm worried they're going to end up shoplifting or selling drugs if we don't keep them busy. I'm literally afraid that some of them will end up as supervillains. It's not unprecedented. So, you thought you'd cut through all the red tape and give them unfettered access to a private science laboratory? Supervised access, he protested. And really, I just signed off on the work experience forms. For all my sarcasm, I was excited. I'd wanted to see inside the Innovation Hub for years. This was the team that provided equipment, weapons, and support gear for Australia's mightiest superheroes. Actually, the world's mightiest superheroes. Supposedly, every country's Innovation Hub performed regular maintenance on their local machine, though I was sceptical about that, like almost every journalist I knew. I mean, the machines came to us from who knows where. Were we supposed to believe that humans had worked out how to upgrade the software? We really shouldn't bring you in here, said serious-faced Liam, wearing a lab coat designed for a much larger scientist. It's a strict no-press zone. Off the record, I said absently, admiring an impressive display of freeze-ray guns. It's fine, Liam, said Griff. Fry agreed to have her mind wiped afterwards, Men in Black style. I stared at him in alarm. I did not... Oh, very funny. Along here, said Joey, giving Liam a stern look so he didn't imagine for a second that he was in charge. Turns out we have a couple of students investigating extra-dimensional travel for a negotiated study. They're the ones who'll be examining the cosmic eggs we just took into custody. Liam's eyes lit up. Cosmic eggs? Plural? Do you have to give them all to Haley? I can think of uses for those artifacts without even trying.
And that's why you don't get to play with them, Griff said swiftly.
Turns out Tina Valentina paid a visit to these premises 12 months ago, said Zola.
So much for the no-press zone, I observed.
The rules have never quite applied to Mum. I get that from her. She spent a lot of her time sifting through Storage Unit 8, which contains artifacts recovered from Megadethra's Millennium Bug invasion. Remember when she opened up all those wormholes over Sydney and sent literal alien bugs through on New Year's Eve, 1999? Yeah, that one's hard to forget. It's my earliest memory. I think I was allowed to stay up late to watch the fireworks and ended up staring at the TV screen as a bunch of minor celebrities were swarmed by scary giant alien bugs.
Good times. Well, it turns out your mother slipped some unofficial funding to one of our student teams to knock one of the artifacts into working order.
Yeah, that sounds like Mum.
It wasn't unofficial, protested an offended voice. She used PayPal. We declared it in our budget and everything. Two teenage girls in coveralls, one tall and curvy with pigtails, one exceptionally short with a shaved head, stepped out from behind a teetering wall of crates. Neither of them looked older than 14. How much money? I asked. The girls both practiced innocent expressions in our general direction.
This is Haley, and that's Buzz, said Joey. The amount was, $2 million.
Griff swore.
Okay, then. My mother wasn't short of cash, but goddamn. What did she get for that generous donation?
Well, said Haley, looking sheepish and proud, it's not like she ever collected the goods.
Not that she could have, Joey interrupted. Funding or no funding, the item in question is government property.
She didn't even take our baby for a test drive, piped up Buzz. We would have totally let her do that.
Joey made a gesture that was half facepalm, half encouraging them to get on with it.
We almost never get to show her off, said Buzz, a socket wrench dangling from her fingers as she led the way around more crates and sealed plastic canisters to a wide open workspace containing... Okay, it was a spaceship. Maybe half the size of my mother's living room, so not a huge spaceship, but still, it looked like a spaceship that it had been transplanted directly from a 1960s space cartoon by way of a Katy Perry music video. It had portholes with curtains. There was a smiley Martian painted on the side. I'm pretty sure there was glitter mixed into the silver paintwork.
That's, I said, but as it turned out, there was no way to finish the sentence.
Joey looked embarrassed.
Groovy, said Griff, with all the sarcasm he could muster.
It's fabulous, I admitted. But what is it?
An extra-dimensional substellarmobile, said Haley brightly, wiping a touch of grease from her freckled cheek. We were going to call her the Silver Submarine, but we didn't want anyone to get the wrong idea about her function.
So, we call her Audrey, said Buzz.
Joey peered into one of the portholes.
Is that a flowering fern in there?
Audrey gets lonely, said Haley.
Does she work? I said impatiently. Is she space worthy?
Dimension worthy, whatever.
Sure, said Buzz. Miss Valentina was due to visit her a month ago. Our only hold-up was the lack of appropriate fuel cells. But the government just got their hands on an illicit shipment of cosmic eggs. And we got first dibs, because...
Somewhere there was a raspy, throat-clearing cough. Everyone around Audrey went still and tense, as if the school principal had suddenly appeared in the middle of a conversation about an impending feminist protest rally.
Joey looked guilty. Griff looked like he had a headache coming on. Surely there was only one person who could have quite that impact on a group of generally shameless people. I swiveled slowly on one heel and found myself face to face with the dark.
The Dark is the scariest superhero. Not even the USA has ever had one that could beat him in terms of pure presence. He's all black cloak and shadow. He has a voice so deep and resounding it's like Tom Jones at a tobacco factory and didn't bother to chew before he swallowed. His shoulders and his jawline are so sharp, they use dimensions not usually seen in our reality. You can never see his face. All the pupils of his eyes. His visor is a streak of brightness against the black, but he manages to look like he's judging you 100% of the time. I'd never been this close to him before. Once, when I was tiny, I sneaked out of bed in the hope of catching Santa distributing my presents around our designer tree. Instead, I found my mother at the foot of our foyer staircase, engaged in an angry, whispered conversation with two costumed men, broad-shouldered and epic. Original Solar loomed over my mother with his muscles and his chin dimple. The Dark was engrossed in their conversation. For one brief moment he turned and looked directly at me, where I was hiding in the shadow of the banisters. He didn't say a word, but I scampered back to bed, shivering. I've seen him since then. Press conferences, live battles, and so on. But not this close, not 3 feet away from me, staring directly into my eyes with his white swoosh of a visor.
Friday, Valentina,
he said now in that gravelly end-of-the-world voice of his.
I need a word.
I'm allowed to be here, I protested, feeling like a toddler all over again. His cowl shifted slightly, and what little I could see of his face looked pained.
I know. I cleared you for access.
I don't think we've done anything wrong, said Joey defensively, stepping up beside me. The Dark judged us all with his scowl.
Did I say otherwise?
Griff snorted. You can't help it, mate. You give off an air of angry authoritarian supercop.
It doesn't seem to affect you,
the Dark said to him. I've built up my immunity. I said, feeling stupidly brave. What did you want to talk to me about? The Dark turned his attention back on me, and it was like all the air was sucked out of the room.
Your mother.
We know now what happened to Tina, why she never made it to the test launch of the Silver Submarine. The Audrey, corrected Buzz, and then zipped her lips shut when the Dark's gaze fell on her. My stomach felt tight. You know where Mum is. The Dark was silent for a moment.
You'd better come and see, he said finally. Oh, that didn't sound good.
The footage was grainy and lacking in detail, but it was real. It had been verified by the Dark's own contacts, and he might be a terrifying mofo, but I couldn't imagine he trusted contacts lightly, or that anyone would dare screw him over with false intel. 6 weeks, 3 days, and 14 hours ago, Tina Valentina was snatched off the street, right here in Sydney. A swirling wormhole opened up for 47 seconds, long enough for several soldiers dressed like something out of a punk rock nutcracker suite to grab her and yank her through to a different dimension. Silver and green space armour, with embroidered coats and high furry hats. Megadethra's aesthetic all the way. She'd always used the same colour palette, even in the mid-90s when all the superheroes were changing up their iconic looks. As intergalactic space tyrants go, Megadethra likes to stick to the classics. When the wormhole closed, it made a popping sound. The ladies' loos at the Innovation Hub were seriously nice. Fancy hotel that serves high tea kind of nice. Everything was retro and gilded. There was a 7-foot oil portrait of Princess Leia as Rosie the Riveter, hanging above the baby change counter. Griff found me there, sometime later, leaning over the sinks.
Did you hurl?
A little privacy, I grumbled. Just checking you haven't drowned yourself. He looked around the bathroom with appreciation. The gents features a very different portrait of Princess Leia.
Men are scum, I said automatically.
Are you okay, Fry? An awful feeling choked up my throat, like the panic attacks I used to have when I was a kid, and I knew my mother was about to get on a plane to go to some country that wasn't here. Travelling wasn't scary, but my mother leaving the country without me sucker punched me in the feels every time. She's just so far away, I gasped. I mean, another dimension? What does that even mean?
No one knows the location of Megadethra's palace zone, Griff said gently. The only ones we know who've ever been there and survived were Original Solar, Molly Mathers, and that TV crew back in the 90s, and they were never able to help the authorities figure out which dimensional layer it belonged to.
I splashed water on my face, inhaling the refreshing coldness. I know all that. I know we can't just drive over there and pick her up. Friday. What if we could? Slowly, I pushed away from the beautiful sink and stared at him.
Say what now?
Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week.